Welcome back to the Ed Morrissey Show podcast. I am very honored to introduce you to Angelina Oliveira. She is going to talk to us today about her son, Ryu, and about the rare disease that he has, and about how the FDA is blocking treatments because of just the bureaucracy of getting treatments approved at the FDA, and how that interferes with people who really need help now rather than in 5 years. And Angelina, thank you so much for sitting down and talking with us today.
Yes, of course, Ed. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here with you, and I'm excited to have this conversation.
So Angelina, tell us about Ryu, tell us about his disease, and tell us about the struggles that you are going through at the moment.
Okay. My son, I'm a mother of three. My son Ryu is 14. He is living with and has been diagnosed with Duchenne muscular. And what that is it's a deterioration of the muscles. And their life expectancy is between 20, 22, their early 20s. And I also had two brothers who have passed away from muscular dystrophy, Duchenne muscular dystrophy. So I lived in these Duchenne muscular dystrophy trenches my whole life. I have seen nothing but this, and it's devastating. And I'm hoping that we can finally get some answers from the FDA.
So the FDA has done trials on medications that address muscular dystrophy, you know, this specific muscular dystrophy, other dystrophies as well. There are some treatments out there for, in generalized for muscular dystrophy, but Duchenne is, there's some specific requirements here. And are there any approved treatments from the FDA? And if there are, how available are they?
So there is a gene therapy, which happens to be the only gene therapy at the moment for Duchenne muscular dystrophy, and it is called Elevidys. Elevidys is from Sarepta Therapeutics. And it, like I said, it's a gene therapy. It was on trial. It was sent to trial on 125 patients. And it was showing to slow the progression of the disease by 70 to 73% versus the children that were not on it. So they were seeing great progress. The FDA approved it. We thought it was good to go. It was sent out to about 1,200 more people. And within those people, two people passed away, unfortunately. It's a very sad situation. Two people passed away, but they were very far advanced in their stages of Duchenne or their rare disease. And so the FDA deemed it too risky and they halted it. Well, then they did some research and figured out that those two obviously were just a little bit too far in their progression. And so they have somewhat lifted it, but the distribution of the Elevidys is limited, and they are setting up every roadblock after roadblock after roadblock for a complete release. So we don't understand why. We have no answers.
You know, and again, I understand the FDA wants to do double blind tests and take time because they don't want to have deaths associated or damage associated with medication that is approved. And we've been down that road before. Thalidomide would be the biggest example from 60 something years ago. But I mean, this is, thalidomide I'm trying to think of the right term for it. It was basically a calming agent for, you know, like a Xanax or something like that. When pregnant women took it, though, it was devastating. These are children and young adults who are already being devastated by the disease, and they need assistance a little faster than the typical 5-year double blind trial, multiple trial yes. model that the FDA has. And
yes,
when you talk to them about this, when you talk to the providers about this, what are they telling you about the FDA? Because there has been some effort to get the FDA to break out of this for very specific and very careful, you know, situations, but to break out of this and to get people access to this medication, as long as they are fully, you know, informed of the risks.
I think one of the things that is kind of still confusing to me is President Trump, he did sign the Right to Try Act back in 2018, which allows the patients' families and the patients to make up those decisions, whether to take the treatment or not once it's past phase one. But I'm not sure where that spirit is at now, because it's, I don't hear much of the Right to Try Act at all. And the, by blocking treatment, the FDA is making our life so much harder. My son, 14, without medications, without a treatment, he could die tomorrow.
Yeah.
The FDA seems more focused on bureaucracy versus patients' lives. And so I don't know why it's such a slow process to get anything approved with the FDA. And I'm hoping by speaking up and other families speaking up, we can finally get even that answer. Why is it such a slow process? They deem medications too risky. We, with rare diseases, especially in children, every day is a risk. Right. Putting my son to sleep at night, not knowing if he's going to wake up. When he gets sick, he doesn't have enough strength in his body to produce a cough, a simple cough that you and I take for granted. And it's there. Time isn't neutral for us.
Right. Right. Exactly. I mean, these are emergencies for you, for your son, for families like yours, and for children like Ryu. You don't have the luxury of time. You don't have the luxury of the scientific method playing out over a decade. That is not helpful. And while I understand why the FDA has that process, when you're talking about some diseases, it's just simply not practical. And the FDA, by this point in time, especially, you know, almost 8 years on after signing the Right to Try Act, they really should have a separate track for these types of diseases, these types of cases. I know that you've talked with lawmakers about this, Angelina. I mean, what are they telling you about this? Is there any support for you from lawmakers, your own congressperson, your own senator?
So there were a few senators. I recently went to Washington, D.C., and I sat in on a rare disease hearing on aging. And one of the senators was outraged that he was hearing stories from his own, from people in his circle about the same illness, Duchenne muscular dystrophy, and how the FDA completely halted this Elevidys. And he knew it by name too. When I talked to him, I walked up to him, I shook his hand. I said, I'm a mother with a son with Duchenne. And I brought up Elevidys, and he knew what it was. And he was outraged. He was so outraged. It was me and a few other moms, and we were just discussing our rare disease situations. And he said, you know what, this is not okay. And I will take it all the way up to Donald Trump if I need to, President Donald Trump, if I need to. They don't understand. These are children's lives. Our children's lives matter. And I don't know how else to get through to the FDA. I heard people on the panel, specialists on the panel, doctors on the panel, saying they even themselves have gone up in front of the FDA, and the FDA brushed them off as, what do you want us to do about it? I don't know. You're the FDA.
Right.
I think you would have the answers.
You know, I do want to take a moment to point out what a sacrifice it is for you to go to Washington, D.C. at all.
Yeah.
You're taking care of a child who's not ambulatory, teenager who's not ambulatory, who has grave risks to his health. It has to just absolutely tear you apart, you know, apart just to be absent from his life on a moment to moment basis, let alone making a trip to Washington, D.C. and coming back. First off, I commend you for that, because I know, you know, that takes a lot of courage. But it shouldn't take that, right? I mean, that's the reason why we elect people who are supposed to exercise oversight over bureaucracies, very necessary bureaucracies like the FDA. And, you know, Donald Trump made this an issue in his first term. I don't think it was too much of an issue this time because there were other issue sets.
Yeah.
But he appointed Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to kind of shake things up at Health and Human Services, which includes the FDA. And in fact, this FDA is probably one of his biggest focal points. So has anybody taken this to Secretary Kennedy? Has Secretary Kennedy even commented on this issue and the issue of right to try medications for people who are in really dire straits here, waiting for medications to help them out?
Mm-hmm. You know, every single day, we, with having a rare disease, a child with rare disease, every single day you wake up wondering, is this it? Like, you have to live each day like it's your last. Because you're not sure. And because of what I have seen happen with my own eyes, with my two brothers, I lived it twice. And I know the outcome. Yeah. And to have my little boy, 14, and his life expectancy is 20. I mean, we can do the math here. I get angered because if it were their children or their children's children, with these rare diseases, and they were in the position that they were, I'm sure that they would run any risk to save their children, to save their loved ones. When it doesn't affect you directly, it's really hard for you to empathize, and you just hear it as, oh, the FDA is just doing their thing. Just be patient. Just bear with them. Be patient. My son doesn't have very long to live. I can't be patient.
Right.
And when there's a medication that's already been approved and now it was halted last summer, now the FDA went ahead and said, okay, we can go through with it again. But now they're setting every limitation for us not to receive it. Why? I don't understand. Yeah. One of the panelists in Washington, D.C., her name was Kara O'Neill. She's a chief science officer and co-founder of Cure San Filippo Foundation. She is also a mother of a 16-year-old daughter who has been diagnosed with San Filippo. She was a wonderful lady. I was very, very grateful to be able to hear her speak. Her own daughter actually was, and so San Filippo, real quickly, is just a childhood form of dementia. And her daughter was able to receive treatment on a trial, and her daughter is thriving. But there, till this day, there is no known medications out for San Filippo. Why? If that treatment worked for her daughter, why was that treatment not made available for the other ones?
Yeah.
I don't understand. Who in the FDA or who in government deems what important and what not when you're not even listening to the patient's family speak?
You know, this is one of the reasons why the FDA, people challenge the role that the FDA plays here. I can understand the need for an FDA, but I don't necessarily think that they should have the ultimate say on this. I think that there should be some sort of clearinghouse that allows parents or patients themselves to acknowledge the risks, to sign whatever waivers there are, so that they can gain access to these things. They can sign up for trials if necessary, or just deal directly with the drug manufacturers. There's certainly issues, you know, there's certainly risks involved in that. But again, we're talking about people who aren't going to live very long unless they receive some sort of effective treatment, and telling people like yourself, Angelina, well, I'm sorry, you're just going to have to wait until we figure all of this out, is cruel. It's just cruel, and it's not necessary. So, yeah, I share your frustration with this, and I think that we tend to be risk averse as a country anyway. Anytime there's anything that happens where one person has some sort of issue, all of a sudden everything has to come to a halt until everybody's figured out an answer to it. And there's, again, there's value in that, but you lose sight of the fact that the point of this is to help people get better now, you know, right. or at least deal with these diseases so that they can get a handle on them before they go so far as to not be able to help much at all. Even if you do start applying them, there's the clock is ticking for Ryu. Talking clock is ticking for other people with Duchenne. And if there's this medication that's out there, it should be made available.
Yes, I agree. And you know, the ask is it's really simple. Prioritize patients' lives, move with urgency, and give families a chance. Patients and families must have a formal, respected seat at the table in the FDA making decisions that are affecting our loved ones.
Yep.
And when I went to Washington, D.C. for the first time, in all the years I've experienced Duchenne muscular dystrophy, I felt hope.
Well, we need to keep that going. As you wrote at USA Today, I have this up right now. This is this week, by the way. My family would have taken any risk to give my two brothers a better, longer life. I ask that the president and other elected officials don't let the FDA take that hope away from my son, our family, and so many other families across the nation. And so absolutely correct. That's exactly how this has to be framed, is that people have their own agency. They can make their own decisions in terms of risks. The risks are far greater of doing nothing here than they are of doing something. And that's not true of every disease. You know, it's not true of, you know, Tylenol or, you know, some new analgesic. There's plenty of opportunities to use other things for minor ailments. So, you know, let the wheels churn for 10 years on those types of things. This thing requires immediate total focus and an opportunity for families to make their own decisions. And Angelina Oliveira, I mean, I certainly hope that this message gets heard loud and clear in Washington, D.C.
Thank you.
Angelina, is there,
you know,
okay,
time for us is not theoretical. My son's life expectancy is limited, and I understand the importance of an FDA. I completely understand, but not every situation can be fit into a box, and not every situation can be handled exactly the same. They have to figure out a way how they can separate the ones like my son's situation, where the medication Elevidys is available, but it was too risky. Let us figure out that. Let us figure out the risk, because as time passes, as they're setting the limitations on releasing it fully, my son's more at risk doing nothing, just sitting here deteriorating. And it's heartbreaking. Right. And I can't sit here anymore and not say anything.
Yeah, he's not sitting in a status quo. This disease is active. Every single day it gets put off. It's worse for Ryu. It's worse for the other Duchenne patients too. So exactly. Time is not neutral. Not even minute to minute. Time is not neutral. And it requires action. Angelina, before we let you go, do you have a website or anything else that you want to refer people to? I don't even know the answer to that question. I'm just checking with you.
Yes. So right now, I do have this. I'm extremely old school, and so I don't have much social media, but I have decided to start an Instagram for Ryu to spread awareness and to share his journey and also my advocacy for Duchenne muscular dystrophy. I've lived it 3 times. My middle brother passed away right next to me, sitting right next to him, and Ryu sitting at my feet, just newly diagnosed. And so I know the heartbreak, I know the pain, and I want other families to hear that you can have a voice and you can make friends and not to stay quiet and just to listen to the, oh, there's nothing we can do about it. Yes, there is something we can do about it. And so I do have an Instagram for him, and I could share that.
Sure.
So it's Ryu, R-Y-U, Ryu Strong_DMD.
Ryu Strong_DMD. Yes. That's pretty easy to remember. Ryu Strong_DMD. Yes. I'll make sure that we get that link in whatever it is that we produce off of this. But in the meantime, I know that the people who are watching this, people who will be reading about it, their prayers are with you. My prayers are with you.
Thank you.
I really appreciate, Angelina, you sitting down and talking with us today about this.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me and for giving me the platform to even have to speak. And I appreciate it.